League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel thinks it's a fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right, his 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers lead it.
This 106.5 The Ticket sports exclusive is driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr., at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws, he's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch, inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away, he's into the end zone, pack the bags, start the plane, this game is over! Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller's out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. Doubleheader tonight, Drive Time in Faceoff, the hockey show coming to you tonight from the Loft Restaurant at Sylvania Tamashanner. Glad to have you on board tonight. Big night. The National Hockey League. Tigers play tonight as well. Show lineup tonight. David Briggs will join us at 5:15 tonight. We're going to talk first things first. Dave is going to the National Football League draft in Philadelphia. I'm curious on his thoughts. Who are the Cleveland Browns? You know, we've read a lot of things. There's a lot of speculation there. NFL draft. Cleveland picking first. Detroit Lions picking number 21. And what else stands out to him about this 2017 edition of the National Football League Draft? Tigers tonight in Tampa Bay. We're going to talk some Indians. We're going to talk some Cavs with Dave Briggs as well, some Walleye as well. Matt Markey joins us at 5:35 tonight. He is the outdoor editor of the Toledo Blade, our normal Wednesday night get-together. Matt Melzack will join us from Kalamazoo tonight on Face Off the Hockey Show at 6:05. Wow. 53 shots on goal last night. Kalamazoo Wings, they win at home. Game 4 of that series tonight. We'll be talking to Matt Melzack tonight at 6:05 on Face Off the Hockey Show. Greg Krupa of the Detroit News wrote an article this past week kind of outlining the demise of the Detroit Red Wings organization and what happened. Listen, everybody's aware of this. When you have the likes of, you know, Rafalski and Datsyuk and Lidstrom and guys no longer in the lineup, I mean, that just makes sense. The team's not going to be as good, but he outlined some other things here as well. So Greg Krupa at 6:30 tonight will join us talking about the downfall of the Detroit Red Wings, how it happened. You get a chance on the Detroit News, read it. Pretty intriguing stuff. Again, Melzack at 6:05, live from Kalamazoo. Dave Briggs at 5:15. And, of course, Matt Markey at 5:35. You know, we all woke up this morning, you know, reading the news that Aaron Hernandez, you know, had committed suicide in jail in Massachusetts. And listen, I saw a lot of the reports today and a lot of the stations talking about a wasted life and a wasted career. No doubt about it. But as they sat there and talked more and more about Aaron Hernandez, I couldn't stop but thinking about the family of Odin Lloyd, the man that he murdered. So, you know what? Aaron Sanchez had a decision to make, whether he wanted to spend the rest of his life in prison or he wanted to end it. He ended it in a week that he was just you know, basically found not guilty of two other murders. And listen, I don't want to get too deep into this, but I think somebody that is facing life in prison without the possibility of parole, I just would want to know how many people really in that situation haven't contemplated committing suicide. Well, Aaron Hernandez did, and again, but I could not help but think about the family of Odin Lloyd that did not have a decision in the loss of his life. So, and who knows about these two other guys that were shot. I have to believe that Aaron Hernandez basically had a hand in that somehow. Maybe the burden of proof or the evidence wasn't there. But, you know, we talk about the NFL player. We don't talk about the semi-pro player, Odin Lloyd, that didn't play for money, played for the love of the game, and he's gone. And Aaron Hernandez, again, that was the leading story, of course, today on most sports outlets. Reeb Report, Detroit Tigers. Tigers again in Tampa tonight. Looking at the lineup tonight, nothing really, you know, really out of the ordinary here. I see Tyler Collins will be in right field tonight. He's hitting .324. James McCann back in the lineup tonight. Alex Avila caught last night. But it goes like this. Kinsler, no surprise. Castellanos, no surprise. Cabrera, no surprise. Victor Martinez batting fourth. Still got to move him down in the order. He is a base clogger. You got to move him down to that six hole. Martinez, the number four hitter for the Detroit Tigers. Collins will hit in the five hole. McCann, six hole. Romine tonight's in left field. Injury, x-rays taken on Justin Upton. Nothing serious, short term, but Romine in left tonight. Jacoby Jones in center. And Iglesias at short. Zimmerman will get the start for the Tigers against Archer for the Tampa Bay Rays. Again, this is Drive Time. My name's Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board. Briggs coming up at 5:15. Let's take a look now. This is Wednesday. If you want to line up in your team, PGA Tour Golf, do it on FanDuel. Tee times in the morning. You got to get your lineup in before the tee times. FanDuel, pick your team, pick your contest, watch live, and win cash prizes. There's more than golf on FanDuel. Basketball, baseball, new contest every day. Play as often as you want. Play in big tournaments. Play against your friends. Over 2.5 million players have won cash. Get that. 2.5 million players have won cash on fantasy sports on FanDuel. Try it today. New users, get FanDuel's Combo 5-Pack. Valued up to $50, that's five free entries to win a combination of 50-50 beginner contest. Just finish in the top half to win cash. Get your five free entries. Go to FanDuel.com. Click the Join Now button and enter promo code WTOD. That's FanDuel.com. Promo code WTOD right here in the ticket. My general manager, my director of player personnel, is standing by, Frank Gargano. Are we heading to the bank with the Brinks truck today, Frank?
Mike, I told you yesterday we were going to start heating up, and let me tell you, this might be the best roster we've ever had. We are definitely going to the bank. We had Michael Fulmer, six innings pitch, gave up three runs and six hits. However, five Ks, he got the loss, but that was probably our worst pick, and that was pretty decent. Buster Posey, guy's a stud, went 3 for 5. Miguel Cabrera on his birthday with that monstrous home run. I know you like that one, Mike.
No question.
Max Scherzer, seven innings pitch, shut out, seven strikeouts with the win. We did a great job.
My general manager, Frank Gargano, Palatial Studios outside Arlington Avenue, Cumulus, Brinks truck pulling up now, unloading the cash. And Frank will be making his way up to beautiful Temperance, Michigan tonight to get my cup. Good job, Frank. You were on the hot seat there. Good lineup last night. Again, great job. FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com. Join now. Promo code WTO. Back with Dave Briggs after this. This is Drive Time, and it's driven by the one and only Low Payment King Ralph Mahalik. We're at Sylvania Tam and Shannon tonight. Back after this.
Host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. Frank Gargano, great job there with our Billboard music. Keep it cranking like that. Again, glad to have you on board, everybody. Wednesday nights, of course, we always talk to Matt Markey. He is the Toledo Blade outdoor editor. Mr. Markey coming up at 5:35 tonight. As always, his appearance brought to you by Jan's Netcraft Fishing Tackle. Markey tonight at 5:35. Melzak's going to give us an update from Kalamazoo tonight. Game four of that quarterfinal divisional series between the Kalamazoo Wings and the Toledo Walleye. Kalamazoo cranks out 53 shots last night. They get their first win of the series. Again, game four tonight. Live report, Melzak at 6:05. Greg Krupa of the Detroit News will join us on Face Off the Hockey Show at 6:30 tonight. Wrote a story a couple of days ago, really just kind of outlined the demise of the Detroit Red Wings, how it happened. Listen, the obvious things are there with Datsyuk, of course, making his way to Russia. You know, it was already underway, the demise and the downfall of the Detroit Red Wings. That's an observation. That's not a complaint. If you're a Red Wing fan, you've had a tremendous run for 25 consecutive years. But, you know, Greg's articulate. He's a guy that's going to break down some other things, the CBA and other things that all played into this Detroit Red Wings situation. Coming up, Drive Time. NHL playoffs have been absolutely outstanding. Games tonight, we'll touch on that as well. On Face Off, the hockey show, by the way, year number 19. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. It's brought to you by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. And joining us now on the Vito's Pizza phone line, Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations by phone or visit Vito's.com. How about this? Giant one-topper, $9. I got to tell you something. I'm eating too many of these things. I love it. Tony Paco's Thin Crust, my favorite. We miss him. We haven't had him on in a while. Dave Briggs joins us here on Drive Time right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Hello, Briggsy. How are you?
Doing great, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Good. Hey, your partner was on with us last night live, by the way, and up at the Monroe Superstore. He's on his way to Italy. He's on his way to Italy, and you know what? All he talked about was he can't wait to eat. And I'm going to tell you something. You're on your way to Philadelphia for the National Football League draft, and I used to make my way into Philadelphia quite a bit when the Devils and the Flyers were playing. I got a list for you, too, about 8-9 places there that you might rival your buddy, listen, Kyle Rowland, when it comes to good food. So I'll touch base on that one. So I had a good time with Kyle last night. Great having you on. Speaking of Philadelphia, let's just get to the point here. Cleveland's got the number one draft. The Lions got the number 21 pick in the draft. Tell me about it. We've read so much about the Cleveland Browns, and there's a couple of options there. What do you think you're going to be writing about?
Well, I'll be focusing mostly on DeShone Kizer with a little bit of the Ohio State angle sprinkled in. 20 guys confirmed they'll be attending the draft. DeShone Kizer, one of them. Nobody from Michigan will be there, although they will have a pretty big prominence on draft day over the seven rounds, and two for Ohio State out of their secondary, Marshawn Lattimore and Malik Hooker, both who could be top five picks. So that's what we'll be focusing on primarily. But as you mentioned, you know, the Browns are certainly the story of the NFL right now, and you know, kind of seems like they're split between Myles Garrett, the big defensive end out of Texas A&M, who kind of seems like the safest, sure thing in the draft. Or if you're going to go a quarterback, it seems like Mitch Trubisky out of, you know, suburban Cleveland and North Carolina is their guy. Although that seems like it may be, something of a smokescreen to throw people off. It sure would be frustrating if the Browns overthought this. This is one year where it seems like, you know, everybody's in agreement that Myles Garrett is the guy. And although you do need a quarterback, it's just hard to have any faith in the Browns being able to identify who that guy would be. So hopefully for the Browns, sake of Browns fans, they go with the guy that other smart franchises think is the guy. So Myles Garrett, it will be.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's any question here. Again, Dave Briggs joins us here on Drive Time, and he's on the Vito's Pizza phone line. You know, Briggs, you're exactly right. I mean, listen, Cleveland's front office and their upper management, you know, player personnel people and their scouts, they are not going to take any, but in my opinion, of Myles Garrett. They've made too many mistakes. They're under the gun here. Listen, if you're in New England – You can make the odd mistake, but
right.
they don't. You know, this is just, listen, they can't, to me anyways. If I'm sitting there and I have a say in this decision and you don't take Myles Garrett and there's a bust for somebody else, regardless local and quarterback and this and that, I just don't see it going any other way. I mean, that's just, there's too much pressure now on these front office folks. Tell me a little bit about Myles Garrett that, you know, we read about him on a daily basis. And I saw some footage of him the other day, and it almost mesmerized me with his athleticism.
Sure. No, I can't, you're absolutely right. I mean, he is a physical specimen. I mean, at the combine, just put up, you know, astounding measurables. So he has all that, and certainly heard what he said. You know, he wants to set the, you know, the single season NFL rookie sack record, and who knows, maybe he's capable of doing that. I can't pretend to be an expert. I probably didn't see a single Texas A&M game this year with, you know, covering Ohio State, Michigan, and Toledo. But, you know, just again, from what everyone has said, you know, I would say probably 9 out of 10 scouts and executives are in agreement that this is the can't miss guy, especially in a draft where there's no, you know, Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck or even like a Cam Newton. There's no quarterback's a sure thing, but there's no transcendent, you know, once in a decade quarterback in this draft. I don't think any of them are ready to start year one, although in the modern climate, I'm sure one of them will be thrown into it, or more than one, really. But all things considered, he just seems a no-brainer.
Dave Briggs joins us, columnist, Toledo Blade. I'm a daily reader every time as his stories come up. Hey, how about number 21, the Lions? Of course, we're a Detroit Lions-affiliated station here. What are the Lions going to do at number 21? We're hearing running back. And, you know, I hear the University of Toledo has a pretty good running back there as well. I would love to see it. What are you hearing out of Detroit, and what have you witnessed? What have you seen?
Yeah, I'm not hearing much, Mike. I mean, you're right. I think a running back is the way to go for Detroit. That's certainly, you know, if there's one piece that's missing on a otherwise pretty solid team, obviously they still have a ways to go to be a true championship contender, but that's the most glaring link. And at number 21, I think you can afford to take a running back. Obviously the running back stock over the past, you know, generation has gone down a little bit. Don't see too many taken in the first round unless you're the Browns and you take a few busts up there. But I think it would be great to take if the Leonard Fournette or one of the top running backs will fall to them. But if they do, I think that's where you go. And as for the guy from Toledo, Kareem Hunt, you know, I'm with you. He's obviously not going to go into the first round, but the way he impressed at the combine, the way he won the MVP at the Senior Bowl, and just really, I mean, he has 4 years of outstanding tape, all-time leading rusher at Toledo. I really do think he's got a great chance to go on day two, which would be the second and third round. And I do think he could be, one of the steals of this draft.
You know what, Dave, we had him on this show, and it's tough sometimes because you're not having a conversation with somebody while you're sitting across from them. If you follow me, I was impressed too. Seems like a great kid. You've been down in that locker room with the Rockets as well. Anything there that you've seen that you like or dislike?
No, I mean, only things to like with Kareem Hunt. You know, he's always struck me as a very, very pleasant, polite, smart kid. And of course, what we see on the field, very quick, very strong, good between the tackles, but also has a, you know, very surprising burst. Not surprising, but a very strong burst. So I do think he's the full package. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Again, I mean, I think he's not a sure thing or a can't miss, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't stick around in the league for a little bit.
Dave, when do you leave next week?
We're heading down on Tuesday night, and they'll have some availability on Wednesday, and kind of we'll get acquainted with the surroundings. The one interesting thing is, you know, you usually see it in a theater. We saw it in, you know, Radio City and all those years in New York. This year it's going to be actually, the draft's going to be outdoors in Philadelphia on the steps of the Philadelphia Museum of Art in an amphitheater. you know, more famously known as the Rocky Steps. So each prospect, when their name is called, they're going to have to go up the Rocky Stairs. And I don't know exactly the logistics of it, but it certainly will make great TV and kind of a cool, I guess, metaphor or a symbol or whatever you would want to call it. But it'll kind of be a unique, interesting scene there.
No, no question about that. That will be great. Hey, I might listen. I know you're going to be busy. We might give you a quick shout out next
sure.
week, only if you're available, please. I understand deadlines and so on and so forth. Dave, I was out in Vegas not too long ago. One of my pet peeves here is over unders with sports teams, and I'm holding 7 tickets here, not for big money, but it's just another reason to check the standings and the scores in the morning. And you know what? It's season long things, which I like. You're not putting too much work into it. But I bought 2 tickets on the baseball over-unders for teams that had great years. They met in the World Series, which you covered. I took the under on both the Cubs and the Cleveland Indians because, I guess my theory for a whole $20 was this. Pretty tough to repeat. You got everybody gunning for you. The numbers were pretty high. Tell me about the Indians start in your mind.
Well, would you get the Indians at, Mike? 93.5?
93.5, right.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'd still tend to lean toward the over. I know that sounds crazy. It certainly has, they have gotten off to a slow start, but, you know, for everyone who maybe was panicking a little bit when they were 5-7, it's good to remember, you know, if we're putting this in NFL terms, they're pretty much entering week 2 of the season. So it's 1 week, 2 weeks in the baseball season, but I don't know. I just think the Indians offense has too much of a track record. It's been too good in the past, for this to continue. Edwin Encarnacion, you know, nobody has more home runs than him since 2012. And he's just been, he was a disaster at the plate the first 2 weeks, but he's traditionally been a slow starter. And you saw him this week start to come out of it a little bit and just up and down the lineup. Say for Francisco Lindor, who's had an outstanding start. Everybody's kind of gotten off to a little bit of a little bit slow here. So you figure that will come around. Kluber, Carrasco, and Salazar at the top of the rotation. You figure they'll be excellent again. And then obviously, you know, arguably the best bullpen in baseball. And the one thing why I say I still would go with the over 94 and 95 wins is the division they play
right,
in.
Right.
The Twins, the White Sox, and the Royals, all in various stages of rebuilding. Baseball is a funny game. You know, we saw the White Sox kind of handle the Indians earlier this year, but there should be a lot of easy wins on the schedule combined with the Indians. You know, this is the most complete team I've ever seen. So I'm still pretty bullish on Cleveland.
Well, you know what? I'm hoping that I'm so good at this that, you know, the South Point in Vegas has just hired Brent Musburger to do a show in there.
Right.
Handicap things. The late, great Jimmy the Greet would have loved this. I picked 7, okay? This is the biggest whammy I'm ever going to pick or do to myself in the history of my life. But I took the Tigers over just because I do. Now, I equated that to winning percentage, of course. So every now and then when I look at the paper, I can see where everybody's at. But right now, I shouldn't even say this. I'm 7-0. I took the Tigers to go over. They would be over. Seattle to be under. Cubs to be under. Cleveland to be under. Arizona to be over. Colorado to be over. And the New York Yankees to be over. Right now, I know it's not May. It's only April, but I got the pom-poms out. I'm 7-0
right.
At this point in time. How do you like that? So
yeah, you're running away with a lot of them.
Well, listen, I just killed it right there. I just publicly just killed the whole thing. How about the Tigers in their start? They got beat last night 5-1 by Tampa Bay. And I've said this before, not to go wild here. I'm a big Francona fan, not so much Osmus. Tigers not bad at this point.
No, absolutely. They've been really impressive. And again, I mean, if lineup's certainly aging, but there's a lot of big money star power in there that can still swing it. You know, the rotation, we obviously know what we're going to get from Verlander and Boyd and Norris, you know, I'm impressed with those guys. I really do think they're going to be very good long-time middle-of-the-rotation kind of guys in the big leagues. Zimmerman, obviously a big question mark, and you've got to expect Fulmer to maybe take a little bit of a step back from his Rookie of the Year season, but I'm certainly high on him. Beating a dead horse here, obviously, but it's just not tragic because we're talking about sports, but it's just sad to think that I've got all these pieces, and yet the area of your team on a $200 million payroll that you're spending, $25 million on in the bullpen is probably going to be the thing that undermines this whole thing again. And you hate to say it, but I mean, what the heck are they doing? I mean, you're standing every single year. It's just a complete disaster. And it's hard to see any reason why this year will be any different. Francisco Rodriguez and the Wilson tandem can certainly get it done on given nights, but overall, I mean, it's going to be a thrill ride every night. So it's just, I really do like a lot of pieces on this Tigers team. And if things go right, I do absolutely seems like a wild card team. But again, I mean, I'm sure you'd agree with it.
There's no question. I don't get it. And saw your story on him and that. I mean, it just, let's get this thing rolling. I mean, I don't understand it at all, and I'm exactly in 100% agreement with everything. It's $200 million. What the heck's $220 million? Get somebody in there. You watch flamethrowers in Cleveland and everybody else come in. Fulmer wasn't bad at all last night, but here we go again. Hey, before I let you go, I love competitors. I love the guys when I was in New Jersey doing their play-by-play. Maybe the second or third liner that just gave you 100% every night because, that's who they are and that's their DNA. And I got to tell you, that's what I always thought about Michael Jordan, whether it was a game of cribbage or a game of, blackjack or whether it was a game of golf or anything. I've seen guys like this over the years. I have soured on the guy over in Cleveland, believe me. LeBron James and this sitting out and get all the money to, my guys that won it last year. I know it's sports. Guys get rewarded for what they've done, not what they're going to do. Indiana Pacers and Cleveland and LeBron, I got to tell you right now, I would like to see somebody stick it to them, to be honest with you.
Well, you're talking to the wrong guy to criticize LeBron.
I know.
But I certainly understand why a lot of people are frustrated with that. I mean, all year they've kind of had this sense of entitlement that, it's just kind of, we're the reigning champions. We can just kind of roll through the rest of the league. And obviously it didn't work like that. There was a lot of struggles this year. Didn't even get the top seed in the East. I see where fans are coming from. You're paying good money and you're not seeing a
Dave. I'm going to interrupt you. I don't even care about Dave. I don't even care about the money. I don't care about any of this stuff with the fans. I really don't. I mean, it doesn't bother me.
Sure.
At all. I don't get not wanting to play. And I understand I got nothing against LeBron James as a person. I think he's a tremendous, one of the all-time great basketball players, but for crying out loud, show up, put the shoes on, and go play. I don't get it.
I certainly see your point. I would point out that he's played already far more career minutes than Michael Jordan. I mean, he's certainly historic levels of wear. I hear what you're saying, but I mean, at the end of the day, it is to get ready for the postseason. And for as frustrating as this Cavs season has been for a lot of people, the narrative of this season still very much remains to be written.
No, I mean, I guess the other thing, too, is there anybody besides Cleveland, Golden State, Houston, San Antonio? I mean, there's not a lot of contenders out there as well. Hey, before I let you go, Briggsy, anything on the Walleye series, number one, that you're thinking? And number two, when's your next story come out? We know the days, but we might as well pass it on. And what are you going to be writing about?
Well, I think I'll be now with the Walleye Kalamazoo series coming back to Toledo Friday, planning to be out there. It'll be interesting to see. And the it's certainly interesting to see last night the Walleye. They outshot something like 50-20, so it was amazing they were able to keep it close. It'll be interesting to see the you know, Toledo crowds are so great. I always say, you know, just imagine the, and our generation, obviously it was different back in the 70s and 80s with Toledo basketball, but just imagine, you know, the best Toledo football atmosphere this year, or the best Toledo basketball atmosphere, or the best Mud Hens atmosphere, and just times it by five, and that's a walleye playoff game. It's hard to explain to people who aren't around, but it's great atmospheres, and it'll be interesting to see how, in light of what happened in game two with the, with that assault with a deadly weapon, how the fans respond to, Kalamazoo and what you, you'd expect might be a closeout game. So I'm looking forward to the atmosphere and looking ahead, looking forward to, a second round playoff series against Fort Wayne, which is, if we're talking about not liking each other, that's certainly, certainly more than the case there. So it should be a fun walleye playoff run.
Oh, good stuff, Briggsy. Thanks. I'm going to tell you something. Being around players on buses and chargers for 40 years, nobody feels more embarrassed and worse than Ben Wilson right now. It's a game that every now and then the emotions and the speed. Listen, he's not happy what he did, and it was flagrant. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely. Hey, good talking to you. You're going to get that list of restaurants in Philadelphia so you can rival Roland there, and I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, Mike. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Dave Briggs, columnist, Toledo Blade. Back with Matt Markey after this. This is Drive Time, driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. TAS Electronics updates after this.
Drive Time show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
Everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. Not an exact science, this radio business, running a little behind schedule, which... You know what? For the most part, we normally don't do that, but glad to have you on board. Drive Time is driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. This is ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Matt Markey joins us now. His appearance brought to you by Jan's Netcraft Fishing Tackle, where fishing is their passion. Expert advice is always free. Visit Netcraft over on Briarfield Boulevard in Maumee, or visit jansnetcraft.com. He joins us now on the Vito's Pizza phone line, ingredients you can trust, Vito's Pizza. Hello, Mr. Markey. How are you?
Mike, I'm doing fine. How are you tonight?
Very, very good. Thank you very much for your patience, number one. And I guess number two, I'm going to get right to it. Just a little update here. I read your fishing report on what's going on down at the Maumee on a gorgeous day with some rain, obviously. But how do we stand on the run of the walleye?
Well, I think... It's been pretty successful the last few days, kind of through this run of fair weather we've had, catching a lot of fish. Mostly males. There's been a few spawned out females in the mix, but primarily males, I'd say maybe 80% of the catch. But a lot of fish. I see a lot of people coming out of the river with two, three, or a limit of four, and that's encouraging. You know, everybody wants to have some success, and when they put the time and effort into putting on the waders and going into that cold water, it's nice to see them come out with some fish. So I think we, you know, we're in that kind of peak period right now. It's hard to pinpoint exactly when the peak is per se, but I think we're in a very good period here. The little thunderstorms and a bit of rain we're adding right now won't affect the things a bit. As long as the fishermen don't get, you know, too close to the lightning, they'll be fine.
Matt Markey joins us here. He's the outdoor editor, Toledo Blade, on the Vito's Pizza phone line. You know, I loved your line there, the Canadian geese leaving their business cards. Very good. We've all experienced that. We got you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead, Mike.
No, we all experienced the Canadian geese business cards. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, they're just a very messy bird to have around, and they can actually, you know, ruin a golf course green or ruin parts of lawn, landscaping, and so on, you know, with their manure. So that's part of the problem. Also, very aggressive this time of year, and that presents a safety issue a lot of times because they'll nest wherever they feel comfortable. And then when anyone comes anywhere close, you know, the battle's on. So, A messy bird to have in your, whether it's in your pond or your backyard, or certainly they've been a mess in some of the parks and golf courses. But also at this time of year when they're nesting, especially very aggressive behavior and fearless.
Again, talking to Matt Markey, Toledo Blade, outdoor editor. you know something about the hunting season and control of the Canadian geese? We see them all over. I see them all over as well. But, I mean, it just, I guess the other thing, too, is, again, protecting their young and aggressive. This is nothing that's really abnormal when it comes to nature.
No, not at all. And actually, it's an admirable quality for a parent or a father to be protective of the family. And, you know, we kind of wish we'd see more of that, you know, in some sectors of the human race. But, you know, it's just, it's a natural instinct. It's the reason that, you know, a very small animal will attack a human being without hesitation. It's because that instinct is so powerful to protect the nest, protect the young at all costs. And, you know, I see the smallest birds, if you wander too close to the nest when there's young in there, they'll dive bomb you and make a run at you and try to run you off. Even though you don't present any kind of threat, you are a perceived threat. And anything they perceive as a possible predator or a threat to that nest or those young, they're going to attack. And the Canada geese are especially aggressive in that type of behavior. And a lot of times someone's walking down a footpath or a trail somewhere in a metro park or along a pond, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, the bird's all over them. So it can be quite scary.
Matt Markey joins us here on Drive Time. Again, Matt's appearance is always brought to you by Jan's Netcraft. Hey, I got a text with a photograph attached last week. Your timing's always good, by the way, Mr. Markey. It was a photograph in the backyard of somebody that lives about 20 miles west of where I am broadcasting from tonight. It was a wild turkey. I enjoyed your story, and basically what I was intrigued about was their tremendous eyesight that I'd like to pass on to some of our officials every now and then. But great stuff for, well, to be quite honest with you, a species in this area that was around World War One, almost gone, but plentiful now and growing even larger.
They are. Michigan and Ohio both have very, very successful, you know, reintroduction programs with wild turkeys, to the point where, you know, they've returned in significant numbers and they're able to hold spring and fall hunting seasons, still on a somewhat limited basis in certain areas, just depending on how widely the birds are dispersed. But more and more folks are calling me, emailing me, let me know that they've seen wild turkeys in along Swan Creek or, you know, different places in the parks around the Toledo area in southeast Michigan. So what used to be, it's kind of like the same, you know, story we had a few years ago with the bald eagles. What used to be a very rare and unusual sighting is now becoming more and more commonplace. And that's only just another good sign that we've done a good job with the habitat. And we've, you know, given anything in nature, you give it a little, you know, hand up, and it usually can take it the rest of the way. And that's what the wild turkeys have done. They've, you know, kind of dispersed throughout the area, and they love those creeks and river corridors to move along and hide. And they've been able to make the most out of the, you know, parcels of habitat here and there in between. So it's nice for people to see them, usually a little bit surprised at first.
Good stuff, Matt. Appreciate it. Hey, when I pick up the paper on Friday, what am I going to be reading about?
Well, there's a lot of questions have been raised over the years about how much of an impact the fishing during the walleye run has on the walleye population and how much of an impact it might have that the biologists are down there netting fish and taking the eggs out of the fish for their stocking program. So going in depth quite a bit with some of the biologists to kind of lay that all out that, you know, there's absolutely no measurable impact by fishing that spawning run or by taking a few fish and stripping the eggs out of them. But wanted to present it from a scientific viewpoint just to kind of put people's minds at ease. So we're in the height of the run. It's a good time to run a story like that.
Good stuff, Matt. Hey, listen, thanks as always. Appreciate it. Talk to you the next week, and appreciate your contribution to Drive Time.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
That's Matt Markey, Toledo Blade, outdoor editor, brought to you by Jan's Netcraft. Back to close it out after this.
Get your head on the steering wheel and turn up the dial. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
Well, right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Thanks to Dave Briggs. We talked about the National Football League draft coming up. Tigers, Cavaliers, Indians, Walleye as well. Matt Markey joined us, of course, Toledo Blade outdoor editor. All those folks join us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Face Off, the hockey show coming up right around the corner. Matt Markey, right at 6:05, is going to give us a live report from Kalamazoo, where the Walleye and the Kalamazoo Wings go at it tonight in game number 4. Toledo leads that series 2-1. And then at about 6:20, 6:25 tonight, Greg Krupa, Detroit News, will join us. The demise and downfall of the Red Wings. Wrote a story on it. His thoughts on that as well. Low Payment King drove this show. Vito's Pizza phone line for all of our guests. Thanks a lot, everybody. Stick around. Face Off coming up after this. Frank Gargano was our producer, our engineer. He'll be here in the 6 o'clock hour as well. Good night. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.